Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 32. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, Sean? What's going on, Nate?
Nothing too much. What's going on with you?
Oh, just recording.
Sorry, I skipped another Nate.
You asked both of us, and I just kind of steamrolled over.
Oh.
He's like... Beep, beep.
I'm good. Ow. Now it's time for Nate's answer.
I thought you were looking at me, although I was looking down. So. I ask you guys how you're doing. I really don't care.
So
I'm just moving on to the...
He doesn't care.
Oh, you guys still talking?
I was just waiting for brother. I didn't know whether you're going to go brothers or gents.
Well,
that's what I was thinking.
I paused and I thought, what can I use? And I just thought, no.
I'm just going to go right for the heart of the matter.
Nate? Yeah.
All right.
You guys are doing all right, though?
I'm good.
Oh, good.
Still good over here.
Sean?
got some road rash and some tire marks on me, but
other than that, pretty good.
You like this answer one. Didn't I say finest frog hairs one time? You like that
finest
one?
My boss used to say that.
I'm good. I'm good with that.
And that's fine.
I'm fine. Yep.
Finest frog hairs, yeah. My feet hurt, my back hurts, my neck hurts, my elbow. But other than that, I feel pretty good.
We honestly, I don't think Nate or I asked. Did we ask? Did you ask?
I didn't care.
You didn't care.
I don't care.
You don't care.
I'm looking up. You're looking down. We're never going to get through this, are we?
That's right. That's not a good start.
This is the gag reel.
No, we are. Well, you know what? We're happy that our creepies are joining us.
Yep.
I assume they're joining us.
They're going
to go out on the
They've shut this off by now.
Now they're like, oh, these three.
And we're done here.
It's a mini. Come on. So let's get into it. What are we going to talk about?
We're many excited. Oh, no, we're really excited.
No,
about this one,
we're really excited.
I have to. Okay, so this one is my pick, but I'm first crediting Pete Peterson. He is a friend of the show. Hi, Pete. Thank you for this. He gave us a lot of good ideas, and he's actually shared some. And so I thought I'll start taking them piecemeal. So this one is Ghost Ships of the Great Lakes. Hmm. Yay.
Nice.
This is a good one.
Yay.
Since this is a mini, we're just going to start taking this little bit by little bit here. So they say stories abound of the ghost schooners and ghost ships of the Great Lakes. There's a lot of ghost ships out there, by the way. But it's interesting to kind of focus in just on the Great Lakes. They say many of these accounts are from the 1800s, but a few extend well into the 20th century. A ship cannot be deemed a ghost ship unless it has been spotted underway after it has sunk or burned to the water line and declared a total loss. Mm. However, some stories will deem a ship a ghost ship if it experienced hauntings by spirits or cursed with endless mishaps.
Mm.
Isn't that weird?
Mm. Yes. So I know the Great Lakes have had a lot of...
Well, and there's a lot of land.
Sucking ships.
Yeah, there's a lot of land to cover, too. Or a lot of water to cover, right?
And we're in Nate's old territory, neck of the woods.
You're
right?
From Michigan.
I mean, you're from Michigan. Born.
Your family.
My family's from Michigan. Yeah.
See?
Yeah. We're gonna part of the hand again? Is it the thumb?
Oh, yeah.
The thumb, right?
That's
what I was going to say. I thought it was the thumb.
Okay.
So it says the Great Lakes are the world's greatest collection of freshwater lakes. There's your education. Mm-hmm. When the upper Great Lakes were being populated in the 1800s, there was no major roadways, few railways, and no substantial method to transport merchandise, such as lumber, to growing towns like Chicago and Cleveland. The Great Lakes functioned as transportation corridors for ships transporting people and goods from the continent's center to towns and cities along the way. The distance between Duluth and the St. Lawrence Seaway is over 2,000 nautical miles. Today, the journey may be completed in 48 hours. It took about 10 days to sail in the 1800s. Accounts of ship activity in the Saginaw Bay's Charity Island in the 1870s are compared to rush hour in Detroit today. Isn't that wild? That's wild.
That is wild.
So with such a busy way, the chance of collision or mishaps was definitely high.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy, though?
That is.
Yeah.
I like it.
So one thing I want to do, because I know we're going to focus on the ghost ships, but I want to remind everybody, we're in the area of, and Wendigos have been spotted in different places, but the Wendigo originates from a lot of the Indian folklore, mm-hmm. but around Nova Scotia and around the Great Lakes.
Sure.
So we're in Wendigo territory.
Wendigo.
We are also in the Lake Erie Monster, or Bessie, which is the Great Lakes Loch Ness mm-hmm. Monster.
Right.
We're also in that territory.
That, yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to point out before we get into these is the Michigan Triangle.
Oh, right? Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. The Bermuda Triangle of Michigan. We kind of talked about that a little bit before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's, you don't think about this area being so weird and weird, you know, creepy and wild, but.
Especially being close to Indiana where we are located.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So.
Kind of cool.
It's our neighbor to the north, right?
That's right.
But yeah, a lot of these shipwrecks, well, I mean, I'm sure few of them are a collision, but a lot of people don't know that the Great Lakes, when they have a severe storm, I mean, they can have 8 to 10 foot waves.
Right.
That's what took down the Ellen Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
One of the most famous ones.
Because it was overloaded to begin with, and then it kept getting water splashed over its decks and everything. It couldn't bilge fast enough.
Gotcha.
And took it down. So, yeah. Weather can
affect
very severe up there on the lakes.
Nasty.
I know there are several of them out there. The one I wanted to start with is called the Griffin. The ship Le Griffin was completed in August of 1679 by French adventurer La Salle. This was the first ship of the European design to be built on the Great Lakes. While the precise dimensions were uncertain, the double mast ship was said to be up to 40 feet long with a 15-foot beam. With 7 guns and a cargo capacity of about 45 tons, this ship would have been regarded as a monster when it was launched in early August on the upper Niagara River. The initial task for the Griffin was to trade in the upper Great Lakes. The Griffin traveled to Lake Erie through the Detroit Straits. On August 9th, he met his lieutenant, Henry de Tonte. We always pick stuff that I can't say words, so here we go. At Detroit, who would accompany him on the expedition across Lake Huron. I can say that one. They landed at Fort Michilimack. I can say that one. Mm-hmm. On August 27th to transport 1,300 livres worth of whatever that is, trade items to the Southwestern Trading Station. So La Salle and Tonte parted ways at the end of August. Tonte, this one sounds made up, was tasked with rounding up deserters camping out at Sault Ste. Marie's main trading station. Mm-hmm. La Salle boarded a ship bound for Green Bay. The Le Griffin departed with a cargo full of furs. They paddled around the shores of Lake Michigan in search of water to the water path to the Mississippi. He paddled along the lake's western side with his soldiers in canoes, rounding the southern end to the mouth of the Miami River. Fort Miami, a tiny stockade, was constructed. They departed after nearly 38 days of the canoe journey along Lake Michigan, mostly around the eastern side. So on the 1st of March, as spring approached, La Salle left Tonte in charge of the new camp, traveled east overland on the St. Joseph Trail in pursuit of the Griffin, presumed it was wintering around Detroit. Normally, travelers would use the well-known and well-established Sauk Trail east. Again, more made-up stuff. However, due to the hostile acts of the Iroquois, they were keen to expand their trapping territories. It was a perilous time to struggle. Traveling on that trail became a perilous experience as a result of this. To avoid coming into touch with the Iroquois, they used a lesser-known path. Had no idea the Griffin had sunk in Green Bay with all the crew on deck. The Griffin's wreckage was never discovered. La Salle and 5 other guys walked across Michigan to the Niagara for a month. They were thought to be the first Europeans traveling through Michigan's interior. While the Griffin sank in 1679, several sailors in Lake Michigan claimed to have seen it making its way across the lake still to this day.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
1697.
Hmm. Yeah. So that's way back there.
It is way back there.
That's a minute.
It'll be back.
Actually, yesteryear.
The Griffin. I like that name.
That was a good start, right?
The Griffin.
Lots of made-up names,
yeah,
trading stations that I
definitely
can't.
Definitely made up.
Don't ask me to repeat any of that.
No.
At all, ever.
No.
Never,
that
ever.
Was a good one. Nate, what do you got?
The terrifying ghost corpse that haunts the wreck of the Kamloops.
Ooh. Sounds good already.
Get my mouse to work here. And, of course, it's not. Oh, here we go. Too far now.
What do we do with dead air nowadays?
Yeah, dead air.
Do, 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 do.
Music.
Just do, do, do.
All right.
Do, 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 do. Hit the button.
All right. What do we got?
In December 1927, Captain William Bryan of the Kamloops wrote a letter to his wife saying that the weather was turning bad and he never made it home. According to the National Park Service, the storm signals went up on December 5th, and by December 12th, the Kamloops was officially one of the missing. Mm. The crew of the Kamloops started washing up on shore in May and June of the following year, and one crewman, he decided to stay with the ship. Divers who have explored the wreck of the Kamloops after it was discovered on the bottom of Lake Superior found something with at least three levels of disturbing. Mm. For starters, the corpse. Ooh. They call him Grandpa.
Grandpa.
Or Old Whitey.
This is a good one.
Because the cold lake waters have bleached and the preserved body a pale, ghostly white. Ooh. Creepy, sure, but Grandpa can do even better. Divers say that the whole ship was eerily well preserved, mostly because of the temperature that lingers just above freezing. Maybe that's why the ghost of Grandpa is often seen walking along the sunken decks, as though absolutely nothing is amiss. His corpse, though, seems to know it's dead. Some divers reported that as they swam through the wreckage, Grandpa's pale, bleached corpse floated right alongside them. Sometimes he even touched them, but they say he never seems angry, just glad to have some company.
Oh, Grandpa.
If only for a little while.
Oh, that's kind of terrifying and sad at the same time. And,
well, Grandpa. He's a friendly ghost.
Let's go visit Grandpa.
Hey, Grandpa.
Where's the nursing home? It's not a nursing home.
I was hoping it was going to be a grumpy, like, get off.
Get off my ship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get off my lawn. Yeah. I mean, my ship.
Yeah. Yeah. Get out of here. What was the name of the what was it? The Kamloops?
Kamloops.
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 Every bit of it made up.
No, yeah.
I read the same story. That's a good made up story.
I know, exactly.
But I've got a real one.
Let's get to our next one.
Okay. I've got the SS Bannockburn.
Ooh.
Bannockburn.
Can't make that up.
They call it the Flying Dutchman of Lake Superior.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Okay. So in November of 1902, a ship named the SS Bannockburn, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I believe you are.
Sounds good. Left Thunder Bay, headed towards Georgian Bay. It ran aground without any damage, but the ship would not be so lucky. Later that night, the Bannockburn disappeared into a storm, and other than a wooden oar and a life preserver, was never seen again.
Ooh.
Like the Flying Dutchman, the sightings of the SS Bannockburn have been frightening. Sailors claim to see the Bannockburn with skeletons on deck. I like that already. And in portholes, manning the ship through a storm. One specific encounter happened with the ore freighter, the Walter A. Hutchinson, in the 1940s. The crew saw the distinctive Bannockburn 100 yards away, hurtling towards their ship. The Hutchinson dodged the Bannockburn. The Bannockburn ran aground and disappeared. Interesting.
That is cool.
So there you go. The SS Bannockburn.
It's ghost stories on the open sea.
I like it.
That's what you. I mean, when you think of a lot of these ghost ships, that's why it's so interesting in this area that you think about them on the ocean. You know, you don't think about them being, you know, right, on these lakes. But like I said, that's what makes them even more interesting, I think.
Yeah. So what do you got, Sean?
The story of the Erie Board of Trade. This story takes us back to 1883, when the three-masted schooner Erie Board of Trade arrived in Cleveland to pick up a consignment of coal. This would be the notorious schooner's and ghost ship's final journey. The Erie Board of Trade had to anchor a few days out from Cleveland at Saginaw Bay on Lake Huron because the winds had gone out. The captain assigned the crew the task of cleaning and repairing the ship. He directed a few new young crew members to dress the topmasts. The entire crew was aware that the rope to the boatswain chair was frayed and risky to use. Nonetheless, the captain dispatched the crewman up the mast in the chair. The rope snapped not long after he reached the top, and the crewman, together with the chair and the gear, fell to the deck. He just lasted long enough to curse the captain of the Erie Board of Trade. The crew reported that the spirit of the dead crewman who fell to their death plagued them for the remaining 3 days of the voyage. Over and over, he uttered his curse, appearing as a white shape, appearing on the deck, and then settling on the area where the unlucky crewman had died. Hmm. When the ship arrived in port, Several of the crew members had had enough of the hauntings and disembarked. The captain, however, remained, and the Erie Board of Trade loaded its coal and returned to Lake Huron. The ship was never found. Accounts of it being sighted in Lake Superior about every 7 years remain the only memory of this ship. Mm. That's wild, isn't it?
I like it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I like it a lot.
Erie Board.
I like it a lot.
Anytime somebody dies in a story, it's good, right? And comes back to haunt in the same story.
Yeah, right.
It's gold.
It's gold. Gold, Jerry, gold. You got one, Nate?
I haven't found another one as good as my first.
Yeah, it's hard to top that one, isn't it?
And my computer is not being nice to me right now.
Well, naughty computer. So I'll go ahead and do mine, then we'll go back to you.
Go for it.
This one is called the Western Reserve. It's Ghost Laughter.
It's a good one.
The W.H. Gilcher's sister ship, the Western Reserve, was built in 1890. The football field length ship was built for carrying iron ore. In 1892, the ship, while sailing across Lake Superior, hosted the owner of the ship, Peter Minch, and his family. Around 9 p.m., the brittle steel hull of the ship shook and the mast collapsed onto the deck. The ship sank 60 miles offshore. 26 of the 27 occupants died, including Peter Minch and his family. Meanwhile, a ship captain named Benjamin Trudell, in Deer Park, Michigan, awoke from a nightmare. He saw the Western Reserve and its crew sink beneath the dark waves of Lake Superior. The dream was so vivid, Trudell was able to identify a body that washed up on shore near Deer Park. It was Peter Minch. 8 weeks after the Western Reserve disaster, the W.H. Gilcher, sank too. The government responded by investigating the brittle steel used for the ship construction. It said the Western Reserve can still be seen floating on the waves of Lake Superior today. On cloudless nights, it said ghostly voices of laughter can be heard emanating from the water. Ooh. There you go, the Western Reserve.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. Creepy. All right. You got yours.
That's all right.
I'm completely locked out.
Oh, no. Hey, go to the phone.
I think I have a ghost in my computer.
Uh-huh. Hey, you know what? We could do another mini on that one then. We've had a ghost, a tulpa. We know that there's been like gremlins in our mics.
Yeah.
Now it has hit your computer.
And we have throat gargles.
Gurgle.
Yeah. All right.
You ready for me? I didn't want to see this time. I didn't want to step on any toes. Remember with the
I remember.
Monsters. I know. That's why I was like,
I'm like, hey,
PTSD over here. For yeah.
All right, go ahead, and then they can.
There's some that I hadn't. There's so many good ones, and I wanted to make them a little closer that touched like Chicago and Gary. So there's a story of the Phantom Flying Cloud, a filmy form glimpsed off the coast of Miller Beach, where the schooner capsized in November 1857, taking the lives of seven. Nearby sails the ghost of the vanquished John Marshall, which is said to affect the instruments of those who pass through its ill-fated path even today. There have been a lot of phantoms around the Chicago city's maritime past. There are sorrowful souls yet seen and heard in the waters off the Wacker Drive. Wacker Drive is a real thing. Wacker Drive dock, where the 844 victims of the Eastland disaster met their fate on the Chicago River on a summer morning in 1915. At times, too, passersby still feel compelled to leap into the river, possibly influenced by the panic of observers who made the plunge that day to save their loved ones. There are ghosts of the Lady Elgin, which sank during a violent storm in 1860. Over a century later, victims are still seen walking out of Lake Michigan waters, clothed in period dress, both on the shore of Northwestern University and at Wilhalla Beach in Whiting, Indiana, where many...
Whiting,
isn't it? Mm-hmm. I know. I, as soon as I said that.
Amy has a friend that lives in Whiting. That's
Whiting, Indiana. Everybody from Whiting is going, oh my gosh, why did you say it that way? Where many bodies washed up days later. One particularly tragic spirit was reported for a generation at a nondiscreet burial ground in Highwood on the North Shore, where so many of the bodies were laid to rest, her vaporous form pleading with visitors to be noticed. Ooh. I think that is so sad.
Yeah, it is. I'm just saying.
All right, I got one finally.
Yay!
Yay!
All right, we're ready.
We haven't talked about the WH Gleacher yet, have we?
I don't think so. That didn't sound familiar. Right.
Well, I'm going to talk about it.
No.
Please do.
The WH Gleacher was built in 1891 as a coal steamer with an experimental steel hull. The Cleveland-built steamer transported bushels of wheat and coal across the Great Lakes. On December 28, 1892, the ship was en route from Buffalo, New York, to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, carrying a load of coal. The captain, Lloyd H. Weeks, steered the Gleacher through the Straits of Mackinac and into a cloud of fog. That was the last time the ship was seen alive.
Oh.
The Gleacher can supposedly be seen through the fog off Mackinac Island as it appeared in 1892. When the sunlight pierces the fog, Captain Weeks is at the wheel and the sound of a fog whistle echoes across the waves.
Mm.
I've never heard that one.
I haven't either.
That was a good one.
I like that. I like it a lot.
You like it a lot?
You know, since it's your story, I know you're going to go for the most famous one.
No. You can have that
no,
one. Go for it.
No, I don't
have that one pulled up right now, so go ahead.
I wouldn't hear of it. You don't have it pulled up?
I don't have that pulled up, actually. So you please go for it.
Okay. let me. Well,
by
oh
all
gosh,
means.
Now I'm having issues with my phone. Okay. The famous Edmund Fitzgerald, the most famous Great Lakes shipwreck. The most famous shipwreck on the Great Lakes is the Edmund Fitzgerald. The Edmund Fitzgerald was allegedly spotted sailing Lake Superior 10 years after rogue waves struck it down in 1975. The Fitzgerald had her crew still rest 500 feet below the dark waves of Lake Superior. That was it.
Yay! Let me pull mine up now. No, that's good.
Wow. Okay. That's not.
That's the best one
that's
yet.
It
finish so, the story.
Finish funny, the story.
When you said that, like I have it in here, but it's just funny because it's like, oh, I
you
don't want
more to that.
I don't have more to it. Right?
Should we edit that out?
No, something? It's fine.
No, I. Well, I mean. That's one of the most, it is the most famous.
It is about, but you're like,
I pull it up with all there. Yeah, stop. I was like, 500 feet below, and then, oh, that's it.
Finish the story. This is our.
I'm putting that on Instagram.
When are we going to print out the shirts that say finish the story? Because that's a good finish the story.
Right.
I'm going to make shirts. I am. I'm going to give you time to finish that story. No, I'm kidding. The funny thing is I had the middle of this story, which is a really good one. That's why I was like, oh, I hate to bounce. Because, you know me, it'll take me forever to bounce between the two different ones.
Go ahead. But I've got.
Go for it.
Well, no, it's just. Yeah, I was surprised that particular website gave me so much information on the other one.
Uh-huh.
I had this, and then the most famous one, three sentences.
Yeah.
There's a ship called the Edmund Fitzgerald, and it, I don't know, it's below 500 below.
I mean, it has a song.
Exactly,
I mean,
right.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Look it up, kids.
Good grief.
Gordy Lightfoot, isn't it?
That's right.
Yes.
Yep. You're right. Sean, go ahead.
Oh, no problem. This is, there is a fascinating, this is also Chicago-based, of ghost lore. A fascinating figure is called Louis Grow, and I'm not sure I'm saying that right, or Grow, captain of the tug O.B. Green, who was apparently a well-known spiritualist who frequently consulted the spirits for advice as he navigated the Great Lakes waters. Like so many Americans of the time, Grow accepted spiritual communication and aid as part of normal life. A progressive advance that was as much of a part of scientific growth as a thousand other advances of the 19th century. In a Chicago Tribune article entitled Captain of O.B. Green Aided by Spirits, the captain confided that he and his wife maintained contact through a sort of turn of the 19th century Skype GPS tracking service, thanks to the spirits. So it says, why my wife puts them in frequent use when she mislays anything and cannot find it, She asked the spirits. They write in words of fire just where it is, and sure enough, where to find it. We put them to the daily use in countless ways. Often my wife feels worried about me and wants to know just where I am and what I'm doing. She calls upon the guiding spirits and asks the question. The spirit goes out and sees me and comes back and tells her all in the twinkling of an eye. Sometimes even she wants to send to me and has no way to do so. She merely calls to the spirit, asks to have, this is weird to talk like the way they're talking back and forth. She merely calls in the spirit, asks to have me told, and knows it is done. The spirit appears to me here and writes the messages for me. Sometimes I can just see the hand tracing and burning the letters. I am used to these things, and they do not seem at all strange to me, though they might to another. So Groh was known for numerous spirits that populated his vessel, causing a variety of paranormal phenomenon on board, and in talking about his long career and related numerous stories of mysterious ghost ships that were frequently sighted by his crew, and the crew sailing the Great Lakes and beyond. When the Maine was blown up, it was said by New England fishermen that the specter of the destroyed vessel manned by a spirit crew was often seen cruising up and down the coast. It used to come along in a fog, and when it was abreast of a vessel, breeze would die out. A chill would come over the water, and the vessel pass would seem to shiver as its salts hung idle. The specter crew stood at the guns, and foghorn was moaning. From the masthead flew the signal, cannot rest until avenged.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, I know there's a lot to that, but it's crazy that they were using spirits to help guide them, and then that they're also reporting
text
all these
messaging.
Other... Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
It's so weird. I just thought that was... I'd never seen anything like that. I also, in watching some of these videos of some of these ghost ships, they were asking, you know, what are some scientific reasons for this? I mean, honestly, a lot of this is... You know, are people tired, hungry? You know, if you have enough time on the waterways, some weird things can happen, right? You know, certainly dysentery, right? But if you also, there's the mirage effects too. They were saying that sometimes on the water, something can appear to be ghostly, and it's actually just the effects of the light or effects of mirages. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Now, not saying that all of these can be explained that way. But you do, sometimes your eyes can play tricks on you. So I think it's interesting that, you know, all these people, you know, have these different, experiences, and I don't know. And the spiritualism comes into it as well, but it's just like, there's part of me that's like, I wonder if this can be explained, but if I saw something like that, it would be, you know, I don't know. You'd wonder, you know.
I can't recall.
Am I suffering from dysentery?
Did anybody mention how many shipwrecks are in the Great Lakes?
No.
6,000.
Wow. Eww. That's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now you wonder, I mean, because you know that there's still some today, but I wonder what time frame some of them are from. I'm sure that's hard to catalog too, but.
I know a lot of the stories that we're going through are early 1900s and late 1800s.
Yeah.
So. I would imagine that's probably the majority.
Mm-hmm.
6,000, that's a lot.
There's quite a few there at the Strait of Mackinac.
Okay.
So I remember there's, like, when you go to Fort Michilimack or Mackinac Island and stuff, you can find placards that talk about the different shipwrecks that are out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we went to that museum when we went to Mackinac Island, and we stayed in Mackinac City and at the, the lighthouse. Anyway, part of the museum, they were showing, they had pieces of the, but I don't know what ship it was that wrecked, but it was cool to see how compasses and all these different, they had some spoons and forks and plates and all this, you know, a little bit. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's, 100 whatever years ago, 130, 140 years ago, just things that they had, you know, all the pieces of the history. It was eerie. And then they showed pictures of it, and yeah, sad, but interesting.
I just think it would be...
Our kids liked it.
A lot of these, you just wonder if you could get a lot of... I know there's books out there about, you know, ghost ships and ghost stories on the open sea and obviously the Great Lakes too. But wouldn't you just love, you know, to be a fly on the wall in some of these experiences?
Yeah.
I don't think I would have ever wanted to be a great captain or, you know, sailing the seven seas or anything like that. But I mean, just a day in their life would have been amazing. I know we've talked into, this isn't all like on pirates and stuff, but it's interesting. You know, I don't, like I said, it's not glamorous, but it is fascinating, some of the things that they would have encountered. So, mm-hmm. I mean, ghost stories go with everything, right? I mean, there's
I don't think it'd be boring.
Land, sea, and air, right?
Definitely not a boring job.
No, not at all.
No. I'm done. I don't have any more.
Yeah.
Ghost ships.
No, I'm good. Like I said, we could go on. We turned this into a full. We could do more, but I think we're good. We'll have to take, like I said, this is an area that has so many different ghost stories and monsters and all that kind of stuff. We're in hallowed, anytime we're close to the Wendigo, we're in hallowed territory. I was trying, this is an aside on this. I was telling Jenna about the Wendigo and Wendigo psychosis, and she's like, that's just gross. She's like, what? And I was like, listen to our episode on Wendigos. Like, that's we tell all about it.
I thought you were saying I had to tell Jenna when to go.
Go now, honey. But she was fascinated, and I was like,
yeah, it's creepy.
We covered a Wendigo, so listen to it, and then we can definitely talk about it. So
it is creepy. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite cryptids.
It is. Well, it's one of the best cryptids. That was a good many, too. Mm-hmm. And, I think I've said this before a couple times, but this is all tapestry. So we're taking this tapestry
I've never heard you
and
say
connecting
that.
The tapestry more, and we just keep connecting.
No, I've never heard you say that.
Everything's everything.
It's all
so like we can say, Pete, look what you did. You started this. I hope we have covered this at least to pique your interest on this subject, because it is a fascinating one. There's so many stories out there. So go find your ghost stories. Like I said, they're interesting to say.
Well, I like it because they're real. They were real shit.
Real shit. Yeah, exactly. With so real stories, real people, there. Real souls on board, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely not anything I would have wanted to do.
Is this like sea creatures where we're glug, glug, glug?
Well,
glug.
It depends on why how Nate takes us out here.
I think we've sunken into this topic enough.
I agree.
It's a wrap.
I agree. Yeah, good job, Nate. Thank you. We have just completely sunk, I think, below our... even lower than our expectations. Lower than what I thought we could do.
Hey, we aim to please. Please aim.
And we're pretty consistent.
We are, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Creepies. I hope you enjoyed Ghost Ships of the Great Lakes. And that is what? Ooh, episode 32.
32?
Man. See, ooh, now we're creeping up to 40.
Your numbers are coming next. 33, right? It's two threes.
That's right.
Don't you like threes?
I do like threes. Three is my favorite number, but yeah, threes. That'd be 33.
It's two threes, man.
But that's, I get you. I know
mathematics. I'm sorry. I'm making
Sean, let me do the math.
Exactly.
Let me do the numbers.
It's a good idea.
No. So we want to thank you guys for listening to Middle Aged Mini number 32, and we will see you later. Thanks.
Later.
See you.